Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We got fun stuff lined up for you. In a little bit, we are going to be joined by our friends from El Cafe, a wonderful restaurant in Port Edwards. Fidel is going to join us to talk about that and being a new chamber member. We got a That Ain't Right story for you. Some good stories of the day. All of that coming up, but it's Monday. It's in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. It's time to open the kitchen.
That's right. It's a Monday and the kitchen is open. So we want to start our show by thanking our sponsor. The Kitchen's Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering, a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
I'm almost scared to say it, but maybe we can say spring is here now?
Maybe.
Regardless, now is the time to think about booking a caterer for your summer parties. Kathy's homemade sauces and menu items are even better enjoyed outdoors, so you can take the stress off your party planning by calling Kathy.
That's right. Kathy will help you plan the perfect menu for graduation parties, weddings, family reunions, or whatever party you're planning. Just call 715-712-3393, and we'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment. Mm-hmm. So, in honor of the slightly warmer temperatures and the lack of the white stuff that shall not be named, we are going to continue talking about early spring forageables. This week, our focus is on a delicious and elusive plant that's technically a fungi, not a mushroom.
Aren't mushrooms fungi?
Yes, but not all fungi are mushrooms.
That's right. I mean, I'm a fun guy, but I'm definitely not a mushroom. I worked all night on that joke.
Are you talking about morels?
Morels, yes. They're actually an edible sac fungi, but that's not a super appetizing description.
No, it's absolutely not. So why aren't they mushrooms? Aren't they called morel mushrooms?
Yeah, that's what we call them around here, but they aren't technically a mushroom in the kingdom of fungi. James, you want to take this one?
Sure, Mel. You know, I love big, complicated science terms. No,
well,
let's have fun.
We don't need to get all technical. You know, Asakamakota and Bicidiomakota don't really mean all that much to people who aren't involved in the fungi kingdom.
Okay, now you're just showing off. I can explain this in fairly simple terms then. Mushrooms are like a flower or a fruit in a plant. So some fungi sprout a fruit, aka mushroom, which produces spores, which are like seeds in plants, and this is how they reproduce. The two major divisions Melissa mentioned earlier refer to what we all know as a cup or a sac fungi, and capped and gilded mushrooms. The difference between the two is basically the shape of their bodies and how the spores are produced. But since language is evolutionary, calling them all mushrooms is just easier, and we all know what they are.
So mushrooms are fungi, but they belong to a separate kingdom from plants and animals because of the way they obtain their nutrients. Instead of getting energy from the sun or food, many mushrooms produce species of fungi have a symbiotic relationship with a particular species of plants. Oftentimes, neither can grow without the other.
So the world of fungi and mushrooms is fascinating and complex, far more than I ever realized, and we could get lost in all the technical information here. So let's just focus on morels, or Morchella, which is their genus.
That's right. Like kingdom, fungi, you know, division, Asakamakota. Plymosomycetes. Pezialis. For family is Morchellaceae. And for genus, it is Morchella or Morchella. Not good at all. This is my last time doing
How
this.
How about we just call them morels, okay?
That sounds good.
For sure. According to the website hikersnotebook.blog, morel mushrooms originated in the Cretaceous period with a single ancestor in North America. That's roughly 125 million years ago.
Wow.
They've morphed into many different species and are found throughout the Northern Hemisphere.
They're found in abundance in North America, Turkey, China, the Himalayas, India, and Pakistan.
Some mycologists are still arguing about whether there's three species or over 30.
Wow.
Like I said, fungi are complicated.
That's not so fun. Guy.
Ah, I see what you did there. Before the turn of the 21st century, they thought there were over 80 species.
James, could you just stop complicating things here? We really want to talk about mushrooms.
Fine.
Okay. Morels are one of the most sought-after wild mushrooms in the world. They are praised for their flavor, texture, and appearance.
And they can vary greatly in appearance, hence the confusion about how many species there are. They're often referred to by color. Mm-hmm.
If you'll let me interject again, I have an information on the newest study about the origin of the three more branches, if you're interested in this.
Yeah. Sure. You know, actually, that does sound interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Enlighten us, James.
Ah, wonderful. According to wildmushrooms.org, a great website, encourage people to bookmark, the newest study looks at the old evidence, adds to the new specimens, genetic sequencing, and historical climate information to decipher the origin of these three branches. The oldest species, Morkella or Rucumbana, are also blushing more. Or woodchip morel, the Morkella or Anacatola, make up the first branch. These are the ones that were thought to have originated in North America. USA. Now it's thought that they probably originated in the Mediterranean basin. The second branch is known in layman's terms as yellow morels. That originated in Asia and later spread to Europe and North America. The third branch, known as black morels, likely started here in North America, but in all actuality, this is still a work in progress towards understanding the genesis at a global scale.
Mm-hmm. Blushing morels, yellow morels, black morel, those all sounds like colors to me.
Yep.
So, as I was saying, morels are often referred to by their color, but I will admit, James, the origin of this ancient food source is interesting, and the fact that they've been around since the dinosaurs is pretty cool.
Sure is. They haven't even evolved much in the last 100 million years. They are just as perfect now as they were back then.
Can you imagine when the first person who tried them discovered how delicious they are?
Yeah, they would have had to cook them first.
Oh.
Morels contain a certain small amounts of hydrazine, which is an inorganic compound and highly toxic.
Yeah, hydrazine was used as a component in rocket fuels during the World War II and later used to power spacecrafts. In the Soviet space program, the compound was known as devil's venom due to its dangerous nature.
That's an interesting fact, James, but we're not going to power a rocket with morels.
Nope.
I prefer to eat them.
Yeah.
So all you have to do to remove the hydrazine is cook them. If you eat them raw, the inorganic compound can damage your liver and potentially send you to the hospital.
But aren't there also fake morels out there? Aren't they
yes.
poisonous?
Mm-hmm. To the experienced forager, the fake ones look nothing like the real ones, but you definitely don't want to take a chance. The easiest way to tell the difference is that the real morels are hollow inside and the false ones are not. The false ones are filled with a kind of fuzzy white stuff in the middle, and the caps tend to be a little bit more of a reddish color.
Well, let's talk about what they look like, okay? I think sure. most people are familiar with morels, but for those who aren't, the distinguishing feature is their honeycomb or sponge-like appearance.
Good point, Beth. Like we mentioned earlier, morels can vary tremendously in color and even shape and size. The honeycomb appearance, some compare it to, like, brains or pits, if you like. They're on the outside of the mushroom top. They can be tight or loose, and they can form an irregular pattern. The important thing to pay attention to is that the stem runs up through the cap of the mushroom, creating a hollow inside.
But if you've never hunted for them yourself, always take an expert with you for the first time for sure.
Yeah, morels like to grow in wooded areas. They particularly like to grow near elm trees, but they also like apple, ash, sycamore, and aspen trees. Down south, they like the tulip poplar. Look for them by dead or dying trees. So, one thing when you're hunting, it's actually more important to look up. than down when you're hunting for morels.
Again, with foraging, you need to have permission if you're on someone else's land. Unlike ramps, however, you can forage for mushrooms on most state-owned lands. In some places, there are limits to how much you can collect, so be sure to check that before you go. Also, use sustainable harvesting methods. Don't pull up the morels, and you need to use a sharp knife to cut it at the base. You want to leave an inch or so of the stem in the ground. This also has the added benefit of less dirt and sand on your prize.
Mm-hmm. Another place morels will pop up in the spring is after a forest fire. So, unfortunately, in some ways, there's likely to be a great morel hunting in Monroe County next year near Fort McCoy.
Unfortunately. And once you get them home, you want to clean them well before you cook them. With all the nooks and crannies, there's lots of places for bugs and dirt to hide. Some people cut them in half and rinse them well, or briefly soak them and rinse. You can repeat this process until the water runs clear. Some swear by soaking them overnight in salt water. Others say the salt water changes their consistency and flavor.
And if you're not going to eat them right away, they will keep for a few days, maybe up to a week in the refrigerator. One way you can keep them is putting them in a bowl and lightly covering them with a damp paper towel. Or you can just keep them in a paper bag. Don't wait too long, though. They will start to get soft and slimy in just a few days. If you want to preserve them to use them later, you can freeze or dry them.
Mm-hmm. So what do they taste like? Untamedfeast.com describes the flavor as earthy and nutty, woodsy and toasted. The flavor is rich and deep as opposed to strong and distinct, but not pungent. Their texture is meaty, but in a tender way. Certainly a satisfying morel of protein, but not squishy or chewy. Morels don't offend palates or overpower dishes, and yet they stand above and apart. Every bite of a meal with morels is the best bite.
That's a good description.
Mm-hmm.
Morels are also as nutritious as they are delicious. They're an excellent source of iron and manganese. They also contain copper, phosphorus, zinc, and vitamins D, E, K, and B. Not to mention folate, niacin, riboflavin, selenium, and thiamine.
They almost sound like a superfood.
Yeah.
To top it all off, morels are also loaded with antioxidants. Balance blood sugar and repair liver damage. Plus, they are high in protein and fiber.
Now, if you don't want to go hunting for morels yourself, at the right time of year, you can find them at farmers markets or high-end grocery stores, but they sell fast. And as we mentioned earlier, they don't keep that long. You can find dried ones online for sale, but they're pricey. I found 8 ounces for sale for $92.
Whoa! Who would pay that for mushrooms?
I know.
Well, I wouldn't, but I would wander around the woods for a day looking for them. They are super yummy.
Yes, you definitely are.
All right, so let's talk about how to prepare them then.
Way to keep us on track, Beth.
You bet. Because morels have such a mild flavor, it's important not to overpower them. Their pitted shape is perfect for holding butter or creamy sauces. So simply sauteing them in butter with a little salt or adding them to butter sauce with pasta is perfect.
I also read that it's important that you don't cook them in iron or aluminum, as that can impart a metallic taste to your delectable dish. You definitely don't want that.
Mm-hmm. You can also prepare them by breading and shallow frying them in about a half inch of oil. The secret is making sure you have a nice thick breading. You can drench them in flour, dip them in an egg wash, then put them through the flour once again. This gives you a nice thick breading that allows the mushroom to steam while it's in the hot oil. It's important to cook them long enough, though. 3 to 4 minutes per side seems to be about the perfect amount. You'll want your oil between 325 and 350 degrees so that they have time to steam inside without overcooking the breading. If you don't want to use flour, you could also use tempura or finely milled cornmeal. Serve them with lemon wedges or malt vinegar. They don't need much, but something tart really makes that flavor shine.
Mm-hmm. You can also serve morels with other early spring treats. They're great sautéed with ramps, which we talked about last week, or fiddleheads, which also need to be cooked before eating. And then you can serve them with pasta or eggs. Add a side of asparagus, and that would be honestly, the perfect meal for me.
It does sound yummy.
I got to admit, I'm intrigued by these fungi. I don't typically like the texture of regular mushrooms, but these sound a little different. Mm-hmm. I might even try them, given the right dish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, James. You're not alone in not liking mushrooms. Humans are one of the few species who eat morels. You know who else does?
Who? Mm-hmm.
Slugs.
Ew.
Oh, gross. Nasty. Nasty.
Did you know morels have some funny nicknames? Molly Moochers, Hickory Chickens, Dry Land Fish, or Fuzzy Foot Morel.
I've never heard those before. Those are great. Like we just always called them morel mushrooms.
But they're not a mushroom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, whatever you call them, they're delicious.
That is true.
Well, we need to wrap up this segment. We want to send out a huge thank you, first of all, to Steph Schmidt for giving us our awesome sponsor, Chatterbox Catering. We absolutely love Steph. She is the best.
Yes, she is.
And of course, a big thank you to Chatterbox Catering for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment.
If you have catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox and she will create the perfect menu for your party. I bet she knows her way around a mushroom.
Oh, for sure. And whatever your catering needs, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Another great episode. Thank you both so very much. Nice work, Melissa.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and we're going to talk with our friends from El Cafe right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And right now we're joined by a new friend of ours. We have Fidel with us from El Cafe. Good morning, Fidel.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Thanks for being here and everything. Fidel's joining us as a new chamber member. So I want to send a shout out, of course, to our Wisconsin Rapids Chamber and Steph, our head of sales here, the best in the business, and bringing Fidel in. Fidel, how was your weekend? How did it go?
Really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, very good.
You're in an industry where there is no downtime, really. There's never like a relaxing time. So I asked that question, immediately felt a little guilty. Like he had a relaxing weekend. You just don't ever do, especially with a busy spot like you guys got. El Cafe is always busy. It's such a great spot. I've been there. Beth has been. It's a wonderful place. How are you enjoying the experience right now? How is it going with the restaurant?
Well, to be honest with you, it feels really good, the response I have seen from locals or non-locals, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't get the chance to meet every single one of them, you know, but I do get out there as much as I can and get to know them, you know. But it feels really good, the response I have from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Fidel, what made you want to get in this industry? What made you want to get work with food now?
Well, I've been working with food all my life. You know, I helped my brothers with their restaurants since 2002.
Yeah, cool.
So, I mean, I do been in the business or the industry, food industry, for 20 plus years.
Wow.
Yes.
And so you just decided to jump out on your own now, or?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What made you want to do that? What made you want to jump out on your own?
Well, one of the things, you know, I always been on the restaurant business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also own real estate property.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I kind of stopped helping my brothers back in August, August 1st. And then I spent 2 months with my wife pretty much every day, all day. And I discovered this is not healthy for us. So that's, and then I was working on that deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My original thought back at that time was get it, fix it, resell it, or rent it out.
Mm. Okay.
But then what I went through with my wife, you know, I did tell her, I love you, honey, but I got to do something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. I cannot spend all day with you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I decided to open it myself. And one of the reasons I choose the schedule that I have, Monday is closed, 7 to 2 for the rest of the week, is because I really value time with family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and my kids go to school, they normally home around 3, 4 o'clock, and then we get to do sports or just family, you know?
That's wonderful.
So,
It's so you know, encouraging too, because most people starting up a new business, you're doing it to you know, keep the lights on, to pay for things and stuff, and family tends to sacrifice because of that. You know, it's just the way business works sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being your own boss, being, you know, the own creator of this and everything, you're able to set that schedule and work around that. I admire that so much, man. To put literally, like, a lot of people say put family first, but not a lot of us do it, to actually really physically, like, not just doing it, but putting even financial, like, I'm sure if you were open this amount of time, you might make a little more money or something like that, but, you know, the family comes first. You literally do that. Correct. I bet you that really, and I can say in the building, like, you go into that restaurant and there's a nice vibe there. There's mm-hmm. a nice feeling when you walk in the door before you even get a glass of water or anything. Thanks. I think a lot of that starts right there with you and that feeling and the kind of beginning of this start.
Yeah. It feels really good when you put it that way, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, one of the ways I teach my kids is, like, you got to know your values.
Mm-hmm.
And when you respect your values, you apply that in life. Life is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
By respecting your values, you're respecting yourself. And I think that's really important. And I hope people start paying attention to that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And value more their values, mm-hmm. you know.
And what kind of food do you guys have over there?
Well, as you know, we only open for breakfast and lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little bit of Mexican or Spanish meals we can make, mostly American meals, you know, like breakfast, any traditional breakfast you can find around here, you know, from eggs, omelets, skillets. For lunch, burgers, wraps, sandwiches. So.
Is there, because I never like it when people ask restaurateurs or chefs or anything, what's the best thing on the dish or menu or any of that kind of stuff. But do you have something that you love making? Is there one that you, a meal or a type of food that you like creating more than others?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah. You know, I grew up on this small village where they made homemade chorizo.
Oh.
And so I grew up... I grew up eating chorizo, chorizo tacos, chorizo eggs, you know, you name it. So I turned my kids kind of into that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So I do offer the chorizo tacos, chorizo burritos, and they're very, very easy to make. Obviously, I don't make the chorizo, but I get the chorizo that I'm getting. Actually, it's from the city next to my town.
Oh.
Whoa. That's cool.
Toluca, Mexico. So that's
wonderful.
Where... Yeah. Hmm. So... I was able to find the same brand through Cisco.
Nice.
They got it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Now, Miguel, one of the things that Fidel, one of the things that I got an old friend named Miguel. I'm sorry, I mix those names up. One of the things that I love about food, and I find that most people, it brings us back, is how much it brings us together.
Mm-hmm.
How much we find how we have so much in common, how we have more alike than not when it comes to that. And food is one of those great equalizers, one of those great, you know, combiners. It brings us together and everything. Is that part of what brought you into this industry? Part of what you love about food, love about cooking? It's not just cooking for family; it's cooking for strangers, and you get a good feeling from.
Yeah, I think it's more about the feeling of serving. Being there for other people. You know? That's kind of where it really comes from for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's regardless of what you do for living, or you know, it's the serving part that really. Motivates me to get up in the morning and being out there for others.
Yeah, you know, well like, said. Very well said.
Yeah,
you're joining us today as a new chamber member. What made you want to join the Wisconsin Rapids the chamber and Chamber of Commerce?
Back in 2010, we moved to Wisconsin Rapids because we find out we fall in love with the community.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Me and my wife back in the time we only had two kids, but Rapids community was really good. It really. You know, got on us, you know, like mm-hmm. we find comfortable moving in.
Yeah.
And back in the time, I was working already in Wisconsin Rapids, so everything worked out all right. My job, community, you know. So
I'm smiling, Miguel, Fidel, because my mom and dad would say the answer the same way when we moved here. It was the same type of thing. So that's really cool to hear.
Yes.
Let's go over the store hour, the store hours and days you're open again.
We close on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
We open from Tuesday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay, excellent. Yes. You guys have a website, Facebook page, things, places we can
I'm working on the website right now, but we do have a Facebook page, El Cafe.
Excellent.
Yes.
One final question. I don't know how other people feel. I love the name. I just think it's very recognizable, memorable, all that. Where'd the name come from?
Well, when I was thinking about the name, I put like probably 8 different possible names for the business. And of course, you know, being a family guy, I sit down on the table and I went around my kids and family, you know, wife.
Yeah.
And the majority of the board bought for El Cafe.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest with you, that one, when I picked that name, it felt like that was the one.
That's the one.
And I'm happy that they were okay with that. And it's easy to pronounce, simple, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's memorable, all that. And at the same time, I feel like it gives you an idea of what the menu's like, you know, which a lot of restaurants, that's kind of what you want, especially if you haven't been to a place before and everything.
For sure.
And we'll be there again and again. We are going to make you so busy, man. Mm-hmm. We're going to be filling up your business.
Appreciate
you. Thank you so much for stopping by here and everything and having this awesome restaurant in our neck of the woods. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for inviting me. Appreciate
it. All right.
El Cafe is at 221 Market Avenue in Port Edwards. Stop by and say hi to Fidel and the family for us. Thanks again for being here, Fidel.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick commercial break. Well, after Melissa's news, we'll come back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Whose bed have your boots been under?
Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Hopefully you're having a great Monday out there. You know where
and
your boots are.
Wondering where your boots are.
Yeah, you're not wondering. You know where exactly where your boots are, where the left and the right boot is, and they're in the right places.
Thanks, Shania.
Yeah. You do not mess with her.
I
do not mess with that woman. You don't mess with any woman in country music.
You don't.
Like, you just don't mess with women. Like, okay, period. Like, just end that. Let's just right there. It doesn't
Preach
even
it.
Matter. Just don't. I want to send a shout out to Fidel. That was awesome.
Yes,
Fidel
so much
from
fun.
El Cafe joining us. That was a lot of fun. I really appreciate him joining us. Appreciate our friends over there at the Chamber as well. Thanks to them, and thanks to Steph for setting all that up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. Visit our friends at El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in Port Edwards.
You will not be disappointed,
no,
I guarantee it.
No, not at all. Have a little bit of entertainment news I wanted to touch on real quick, and then we'll come back with some Then I Write stories and good stories of the day. Brad Paisley is going to headline Nashville's July 4th extravaganza again this year after doing it 2 years ago. The event is free and open to the public, and it isn't just Brad. There will be other performers, The War and Treaty, Langhorn Slim, and Tiara Kennedy, along with an epic fireworks show. If I was anywhere near the Nashville area, that would be pretty cool to see. I don't know. I don't know a ton of Brad Paisley's music or anything like that. I find him just to be a really good MC. Like, to me, I know I'm going to get a good show. Even if I don't know his music catalog, I know going to see Brad Paisley perform, he's going to give me a good show. He's going to talk to the audience. Mm-hmm. He's going to have fun. To me, that's music. I don't care what the genre is. I don't care if they're doing opera. If you give me that, I'm going to go.
Right.
Let's see. Next up, got a trick question for everybody.
Uh-oh.
So Reba McEntire recently wrapped her Reba Live in Concert tour at Madison Square Garden. I hope people knew that was going on. Like, Reba McEntire was performing at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
Just for one, that's kind of cool. I don't think a lot of people think of country artists at Madison Square or in New York in general.
Right.
But it speaks to, like, not only her legacy and her career and how big she is, that she was filling Madison Square Garden. Not just a one-time, like a one-off or anything. That's one thing, you know. Okay, she doesn't go to New York very often. It's not surprising she sells out. She sold out Madison Square Garden, the Mecca, like back to back to back. Like, it's incredible.
Yep.
And it's not, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's not as if she is coming off of a successful album or a pop hit or something like that. It's very similar to what Billy Joel pulls off at Madison Square Garden, like once a month or something like that. Like, that's impressive to me.
Her repertoire is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During an interview with Willie Geist of Today, she was asked what the experience was like. And her answer went in a direction that not many expected. Quote, "I went in thinking it's just another arena because it holds such history for me and my family." Grandpa roped these roped there during the rodeo in the 30s. Daddy roped there during the rodeo in the 40s, and it felt like they were there with us at Madison Square Garden Saturday night.
Wow.
So technically, Reba is not the first McIntyre to perform at the Garden.
There you go.
Nice.
Even though her dad and her grandpap competed, there was an audience.
Right.
Those people must have been impressed, too. Her grandfather, John Wesley, was a world champion steer roper in 1934, and her dad, Clark, held the same title three times in 57, 58, and 61.
Wow.
So, actually, I wonder if Reba's a disappointment because she didn't go into the family business. She didn't go into the family business. No, I'm joking.
But she helped hold the legacy.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. She didn't just hold it up. She created another one.
There you go. Yep.
One of those like people that you'd give anything to interview.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'd love to just sit back and like have a 20-some minute conversation with her. I don't even know if we'd get around to music. Honestly. And I don't mean that like an insult. I mean that as a compliment.
She is a phenomenal woman. I would love to meet her.
This just seems like one of those people. Yeah. One of those people where you'd be like literally really shocked if she's like a jerk. Like, it just seems like one of those people. I got here an interesting one. The top 10 highest grossing tours of all time.
Okay.
We tend to do these where it's kind of like the biggest album of all time or the most selling, you know, hit single of all time. We don't do tours very often. I think this is kind of cool. So let's just go through these.
Okay.
Number 10, Love on Tour from Harry Styles from 2021 to present.
Okay.
That tour has been going on since 2021.
Wow.
He's made $418 million, 3.2 million attendees, 138 shows.
Wow.
Another one where I don't know his music. I know like one, two songs by him, but I hear nothing but good things about him. He performed in Chicago, and I had a bunch of people that I didn't even know liked his music at that. And they could not stop. Like for a week straight, all they wanted to talk about was his show and how great it was. And, oh, I didn't tell you about this that he did and everything. I don't know him that well, and I don't know his music at all, but everything I hear seems like one of those people.
Yeah.
Black Ice World Tour from AC/DC from 2008 to 2010. 442 million, 2.8 million attendees, 107 shows. AC/DC is Teflon. If they had stock, I would buy stock in AC/DC. they continue to do this decade after decade, very similar to Reba. When's the last hit single they had out? And they're still rocking out arenas. We're not talking like a bar that they're selling out here or something. They're selling out arenas.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The Wall Live from Roger Waters from 2010 to 2013, 459 million on that, 4.1 million attendees, 219 million shows. Impressive. Very similar to the other things we've just talked about. A Head Full of Dreams tour from Coldplay from 2016 to 2017, 524 million, 5.4 million attendees, 115 shows.
Wow.
The No Filter Tour from the Rolling Stones from 2017 to 2019, and then again in 2021, 547 million, 2.9 million attendees, 58 shows.
Amazing.
And the Rolling Stones show up again at number five with a Bigger Bang Tour from the 2005 to 2007 at 558 million, 3.5 million attendees, 111 shows. All those shows have taken place in the aughts.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones' most successful shows have happened at the end of their career. That's remarkable. Not in This Lifetime tour from Guns N' Roses from 2016 to 2019, 584 million, 5.4 million attendees, 158 shows. That one, I actually heard the exact opposite about the people that went to those shows.
Oh, really didn't like it?
No. And that it just didn't hold up, that Axl Rose, like, his voice wasn't there. He was, like, barely moving on stage. I knew somebody that went and saw a show in California and somebody that saw a show in Chicago, and they both had the same complaints. Apparently, like, he was just, like, picking on the audience a lot and I don't understand him.
No.
You realize, you know, you're nothing without your fans,
exactly,
right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying you gotta, you know, kiss their butt or anything, but I mean, come on. They bought your albums and everything.
Exactly. At least give them some respect.
Yeah.
But he's still selling tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing about it is that's how big they were. Even with all that, they still sold.
Mm-hmm.
U2's 360 Degrees tour from 2009 to 2011, 736 mil, 7.3 million attendees, 110 shows.
Wow.
Interesting two acts at number two and number one. I would have put the Rolling. I would have thought for sure the Rolling Stones had one of the top spots. Mm-hmm. I easily would have thought that. Number two, the Divide tour from Ed Sheeran.
Oh, really?
From 2017 to 2019, $776 million grossed on that tour. 8.9 million attendees, 258 shows.
Goodness.
The Wall Tour had 219 shows, but other than that, nobody had that many except for our number one. Like 258 shows. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
That's a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of good things about his stuff, but the thing about him I hear is it's not so much about him being a showman or an MC as him just like kind of talking to the audience.
Yeah.
It's a very stripped down concert. It's a very Ed and his guitar kind of thing. And people love that.
Yeah.
He's got a huge fan base. Sadly, one of the things that showed me how big Ed Sheeran was when him and the Taylor Swift fan bases like seemed to be butting heads or whatever, and like his career stayed okay, like he didn't get like dwarfed by that fan base or anything like that. Not that I'm saying anything bad about the Taylor Swift fan base; they're wonderful people, every single one of them. I'm sure are great, wonderful people. I will offend politicians before I'll go after that.
Yep. Like,
I am a dog. I don't have a problem going into any fight whatsoever, except with the Taylor Swift fan base. Like that, nope. They're perfectly fine people, have no issues with any single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the interesting thing about all those numbers that you're naming out, James, that the Harry Styles and Ed Sheeran, they're young.
Yeah.
They're like, I mean, Harry Styles is only 29. Ed Sheeran is in his early 30s. And they're making the same as these longtime rock bands.
Yeah.
The next youngest act is Coldplay, who is similar to some of these other acts, haven't had a hit single in a while, a new album in a while and everything. I think that's a really cool point.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wonder how much, like we wonder why rock bands come back or why nobody ever retires. Why would you retire?
Right.
Like if you could keep doing this, as long as people are still showing up, if they don't, it's one thing if, like, you're just barely hanging on, you know, and you're doing open mic nights, you know, or something like that. like the day people stop paying you to perform, that's, I would think, a sign, okay, it's done. I should retire the microphone or whatever. But until then, why stop?
Right.
It's not about the money to me. Like, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards have enough money. They're not touring because they need, like, they're having a hard time, you know, keeping the lights on or anything like that. They love performing. They love, and the people love seeing them. So why would you stop?
Exactly.
The best example of this may be at number one on the list. Number one, Farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour, Elton John.
Yep.
Sir Elton John from 2018 to 2020, and then 2022 to present. It's still going on.
Yeah.
And the last check, 853 million grossed, 5.5 million attendees, 293 shows. More than anybody on this list. Maybe one of the oldest, if not the oldest person on this list, has done more shows than any of these people. It's impressive. That's very impressive. It's pretty cool.
So I notice all of these are more the rock side. Yeah. I'd be curious as to what it compares to with other genres. You know, where's the country? Well, I have expected to see Garth Brooks on that list.
Yeah, because this isn't just this is all concerts, all music that on here.
Okay.
So if a Garth Brooks had a show that would have cracked the top 10,
it would have been
on
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't just a genre thing. This was all music.
Okay.
I think it speaks more to piggyback on what you're saying, because I think you got a point there, that the universalness of all these music, all these bands, most of them, where we would say classic rock or rock this or whatever, they're all pop, like rock pop or that. U2, Rolling Stones, a lot of this stuff. They AC/DC even has pop hits, you know, Thunderstruck. They all have recognizable songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a big part of it too. Take a break, come back with a That Ain't Right story, some good stories of the day, and plenty more for you on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Good morning to everybody out there. Thanks so much for joining us. You got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you to wrap up the show for a Monday. Mm-hmm, we'll be back tomorrow. Melissa and I will be hanging out with you. Looking forward to it. We got some good things coming up in Playmakers. Seth and I are going to be tag teaming the show. We, of course, will open the phone lines. We want to hear your sports thoughts and feelings. And we're going to be joined by our friend Tyler Miller. He is with, of course, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. We're going to talk some Rafter baseballs. Tyler's going to join us to kick off the show. Cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. Yay. Tyler is the new operations manager over at the ballpark, so it's going to be cool to get to talk to him about some promotions. They actually have some exciting news that's going to be kicking off during our show right in real time, so that's going to be fun. Join Seth and I and all of you, because it's your show too, everybody, for Playmakers. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show, getting your words out. Got a That Ain't Right story here. Someone should have told this guy that getting baptized just washes away original sin. Any sins after that are on you. Is that correct, Beth? Cops in Mesa, Arizona arrested 20-year-old Jeremiah Skikes over the weekend after he walked into a church, got naked, and tried to baptize himself, and then got punched by a police officer.
Whoa.
Someone at church called them around 2:45 and said a naked guy had climbed into their baptism fountain and refused to leave. When police got there, he was wandering around outside and still naked, but with a blanket he apparently took from the church. Cops say he admitted that he stripped down because he wanted to baptize himself. They arrested him for trespassing and indecent exposure. Then once they got him to jail, he took off a sock and threw it at them, punched a cop in the head, and then got hit by another police. And then, of course, got tackled and all that. So he is facing other charges as well.
Yeah.
I think nowadays we all understand that mental health comes into factor with some things. So I don't want to make fun of anything like that. But putting that aside, what the what? I got to admit here, I've never been baptized. This is not my world. But I know enough to know not to do this.
Most baptisms I'm aware of, you have clothes on while you are baptized.
There's like a special robe for it or something.
Well, depending on your denomination,
having clothes on does not mean that you're less baptized, correct?
Correct.
It didn't seem like that would make any sense to me.
If you want to be baptized like that, do it in your own shower.
I can't think of many quicker ways to just say that you're done trying to be a good person than messing with a church in any way, in any single way whatsoever. That just kind of like, look, society, I'm not a good person. I just want to let everybody know that. Here we go. Time for some good stories. We need a palate cleanser after that one. And we got some local good stories I want to touch on. First up, I wanted to mention we had Mayor Blazer in last week and his wonderful assistant. This is a bit of a passion project for Emily. She has the we're inviting you to attend the Cultural Assets Forum. This is going on tomorrow from 6 to 8 at McMillan Library, right in their Fine Arts Center. It's free to the public event and invites attendees to learn about our community's multicultural assets, hear about from diverse community panelists, taste cultural foods, and meet someone new. A multicultural social hour will include a scavenger hunt with a chance to win one of several Quick Trip gas cards. All ages are welcome, and limited childcare assistance will be available. Wow. You can find out more about this. They've got a Facebook page. Just type in your search bar, the Southwood County Cultural Coalition. Southwood County Cultural Coalition. Encourage you to do that.
Great.
Great one. This kicks off at 6 o'clock tomorrow at the Cultural Fine Arts Center at McMillan Library. Encourage you to attend this. Check it out. Got another Heroes Cafe this week.
Yay!
American Good. Heroes Cafe. It goes on from 7:30 to 9:30 at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. All veterans, military, and police and firefighters are welcome. We wish you guys a great day for that. United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties has their book drive going on. Just a couple more days you could got to be a part of this. It wraps up on the 28th. Drop off books or cash donations at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. This is also that they can give these books away during the Great Book Giveaway, June 6th through the 13th. Find out more by going to their website, uwswac.org. And, of course, here in town, we're getting close to wrapping up the Winter Farmers Market over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Always a good story of the day. Let's just remind people about that one more time, Beth.
Every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you're a vendor, there's still time to register to be a part of this, our last one. This is our inaugural season. We will be coming back in the fall.
Yay.
But again, Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We also have a blood drive coming up this week on Thursday from noon to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pre-register. Pre-registration is recommended, and you can find information on our website about that, or just show up. Again, it's this Thursday from 12 noon to 4 p.m.
And you can find out more by going to their website, wrmoravian.org, mm-hmm. wrmoravian.org. A guy named Tori Nielsen showed up at a lottery headquarters in Nebraska this month to claim his $10 jackpot. He won 10 bucks on a scratcher and wanted a photo with a giant check, so they played along.
Oh.
When asked what he planned to do with those winnings, he said, "Let it ride." That's smart on their on those people, too, to do that. I think that's funny. A bunch of employees for the Kansas City Royals save a dog that climbed into a woman's engine compartment. It rode under her hood for a half hour on her drive to work, but it's okay. They got it out and managed to track down the owners.
Wow. Ooh.
That's incredible.
That is
a tough dog right there.
Uh-huh.
That is impressive. And a set of quadruplet brothers just opened their own Jersey Mike's franchise in New Jersey last week. They're 25 years old and all worked at a Jersey Mike's in high school. They started talking about opening their own store back then and finally made it happen.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Do you walk into that and like do a double check and then a double and then another double check and then a double? That's
can
funny.
I just see you?
Do they sing too?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Oh, yeah. And they're a barbershop quartet.
Wouldn't that be
too.
Awesome?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. But the only thing that would make that story better. That's the only thing. And a new study found that parrots like Zoom.
Parents?
Parrots.
Parrots.
Bird.
Oh, my goodness.
When researchers let them make video calls and contact other birds, they showed less signs of being lonely.
Interesting. Aww.
What could develop from that? Like, I can't imagine, like, zoos working with other zoos and, like, Zoom call, like, just animal Zoom calls. Like, what did I tell you? What are
That's
their,
a new TV show.
Yep. And this brings us full circle.
Yep.
Hiring animals.
Yep.
That's what we need to do.
And especially for those people that feel isolated and need a companion. Who says it has to be a human companion?
Yeah.
There Better than chat AI on Snapchat.
Right?
There you go.
Well, hey, let's be honest. There are some days you'd rather talk to an animal than a human being. Let's just be real about it. There's sometimes. We were very happy to talk with Fidel today. A big shout out to Fidel, owner and creator of El Cafe. Join them over at 221 Market Street in Port Edwards when they open their doors. Find out more by going to their Facebook page.
Yeah.
Both of you, thank you so much for a wonderful show. Have a great day.
Hey, you too, James.
Yeah, you too, James.
Stick around for Playmakers coming up in just a few moments right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.